But before you depart for lunch and before we say grace, I have no message for you, even though you see me bringing out a big file. But there is a scripture that the Lord wants you to hear before you leave here today. And I want you to see it in black and white. So I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel and to chapter 36. The book of Ezekiel and chapter 36. As I was preparing my heart for communion today, the scripture that the Lord took me back to was a scripture that He gave to my own heart right at the very beginning of our life together in Christ our Shepherd. And I want to read you the verses that precede it as well as the promise, because we are called to remember the way the Lord our God has led us and to rehearse the promises of God to us. Reading from verse 33, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, on the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to the plea of the house of Israel and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks of offerings at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. The Lord spoke that word to my own heart as basic for my expectation of the work of God in metropolitan Washington. The issue is not a single perceived flock, but the multiplying of many flocks amidst the rubble of the cities of men. It's a wonderful scripture because it brings together the image of the city and the image of the field in glorious harmony. And it's worth reminding ourselves that before this chapter 36 and before the well-known chapter 37 of the Valley of Dry Bones, we read Ezekiel 34. It was out of Ezekiel 34 that Dennis read during the time of worship. A crucial passage in Scripture, for it is in that chapter that we understand with clarity the characteristic of God as shepherd of His people. It would have been that passage from Ezekiel chapter 34, as well as the passage Psalms 23, that would have been foundational in Jesus' own study of Scripture. The Spirit of God would have used those same passages to give Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the understanding that God intended for Him to have as who He was called to be as the shepherd of the church. And it is in the context of the imagery of the flock that this word about the cities comes. And I want to give you a prayer list. Let me remind the church that on Wednesday night from 6 to 9, Christ our Shepherd is responsible for the prayer watch down on the mall in the tent. There are no study groups, there are no Bible study groups or home groups this week. We're exhorting and encouraging you all to be there, to take our place as the flock amidst the ruined city. Don't forget it. May the 5th, National Day of Prayer. Don't forget to fast. There's a lot of people down the mall forgot it was a day of fasting. I was having a hard time looking at all these picnic baskets come. Now, there's no judgment in that. It's just a judgment in my own heart that I thought about what was in those picnic baskets. But church, let's respond to the call to fast. and to pray on May the 5th. And I want to just leave you with these headlines for your own praying, because we've been talking about restoration. Last Sunday, my father brought a word from the book of Haggai on restoration. And there are some specifics to restoration. And here is what we need to pray to happen. And this is what God says He will do when He restores. I want you to note four things in this passage. First of all, God says that those who are restored will be marked by the fact that they are redeemed. He will redeem that which is defiled. Secondly, the Lord says that He will resettle what was deserted. Thirdly, He says He will rebuild what was destroyed. And fourthly, He says that He will replant what is desolate. And this tells us that there are clear evidences of a restoring work of the Spirit of God. You'll be able to identify these characteristics in your own life, and we should identify them in the corporate life of the church. Redeemed. In other words, we stand as people who know and have experienced the forgiveness of God. Now, people want to hear all sorts of things today. But when the last hotel booking has been made for the last convention dealing with the latest new word to the church, the message will remain the same. It'll start with a cross and the need to be redeemed. That all restoration begins with coming into right relationship with the Lord. And we should have this expectation on this anniversary that the Lord will mark us as a people who are forgiven and therefore know how to forgive. Secondly, we should have the expectation personally and corporately in Christ our Shepherd that where there has been desert, God will resettle. In other words, we're not simply a people that have been forgiven, but we've been forgiven and put in a particular context. The gospel will save you and put you somewhere. As we've been going through the book of Ephesians week after week, the Lord has been laying this truth clearly in our life. You cannot be saved and isolated. The biblical teaching on salvation is that we are saved and thereby incorporated into the life of the church. So we will be people who are founded, settled. Now that doesn't mean that we'll only be in one place for all of our life. Clearly that is not so. But in spiritual terms, there'll be a settling and a founding and a rootedness for nurture and responsible accountability and growth in our life in the work of God. And thirdly, we should have this expectation among us that we will continue to be rebuilt. And when you examine the rebuilding of restoration, it has this goal that there will be a fortification. In other words, we'll be a people who are fortified by the Spirit of God. Not simply to gingerly and somehow nervously build in and protect the little we have, but to take our stand offensively in the line that God is calling us to, even in this city. And God's promise and an evidence of restoration is that we will be replanted. He says, what was desolate will become fruitful. And I want to suggest this to you as a prayer list for Christ our Shepherd Church on this our anniversary, and a prayer list for the Church of God and for your expectations of the evidence of restoration. That there'll be a redeeming from what is defiled. There'll be a resettling in what was deserted. There'll be a rebuilding in what was destroyed. There'll be a replanting where there is desolation. That you will be marked and I will be marked as a man and woman, and we'll be marked as a church who take our stand without shame in the presence of God as people who are forgiven, founded, fortified, and fruitful in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in this prophecy, the Lord says in chapter 14, verse 3, and I believe it's chapter 20, verse 3, he says, people have come to me and they've been inquiring of me an awful lot. But God says, I will not be inquired of. And the reason God would not be inquired of was because the people had requested everything but repented of nothing. And I want to say something, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. But the gospel calls us, when we deal with the truth of redemption, to deal with it specifically. And the gospel takes us even beyond the sincere prayer that is a prayer of repentance about a particular sin before a God of heaven. Because repentance is going to involve engagement with the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ and his victory over the works of darkness. And it's our prayer for the life of our own church that that particularity of Jesus, the blessings of redemption that are deliverance and forgiveness and the maintenance of life that only come through Jesus dying and rising again. They're not going to come vaguely from some corner of the sky. God has ordained that they come through Christ. I think what God has done in bringing people to our city is wonderful and marvelous and it stirs. But God, as you know, beyond the events, God is concerned that we continue to keep before all men the particularity of this redemption. For without the admittance of sin and the acknowledgement of Jesus' power over it, the Bible says that there is no repentance. And didn't we find that in the book of Ephesians? Didn't we find that, church, when we looked at the foundations for the doctrine of the church? What was the foundation that Paul laid the doctrine of the church? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I want to just give a little arrow pastoral application this morning. If I'm talking to any dear one here this morning and you know there is an air of defilement, he can redeem. It's not going to happen vaguely. It's going to happen specifically. It's got to happen specifically. Only he, by the power of his cross, can deal with locusts and every other dragonish manifestation of the work of the enemy. I want to speak a word of encouragement to all of you in terms of resettling. It's an uncomfortable process, resettling, isn't it? But you know, God's pattern for the church has more to do with house than it has to do with hotel. He's not resettling us in hotels, in houses, in families. Some of us have carried a view of the church for a long time that it has to do with room service. It doesn't. It has to do with serving one another with all our feet under the table. And I want to speak a word of encouragement to you, dear hearts, this morning. Expect the evidence of the work of restoration in this body to continue to give you a sense of location. The mark of these people, why they needed resettled, was because they were exiles. They were wanderers. And I may be talking to someone this morning, and you can rationalize your life right now, and you go from this to that, and you never settle. And you say, well, it's just the way my sojourn works. I want to encourage you this morning, there's a difference between being a Bedouin and being a pilgrim. God wants us to be pilgrims who are resettled. God's doing a wonderful thing among us. People are being resettled in terms of vocation. Expect the restoration of God to affect the resettling of your family and that which in your life has been deserted of that fresh breath of the Spirit. Rebuilding, the great books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and restoration which God has been speaking to us through. Oh, we need the Lord to continue to work that in our life in this church. The walls that represent the brokenness of protection and defenses, the burned gates that represent the loss of authority, that precious book of Nehemiah in which some of you have been so well taught, a tremendous treatise on the work of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah, his name meaning comforter. I see that book in those terms, coming with letters of authority and coming with the supply of the king. And haven't you noticed, dear ones, that the Lord, by His Spirit in us over the past year, hasn't He been doing some rebuilding? Oh, I tell you, there's been some rebuilding work of the personality that is you and me, hasn't there? Do you remember we noted that long before we could get to the ministries and the gifts in Ephesians, we had to deal with being humble and patient and gentle and forbearing in love? The Spirit of God is so gracious and won't let us just rush into every ministry and every gift. He's concerned about the rebuilding of who we are in Christ. He's concerned about the fact that we godlily control ourselves and live as disciples of Jesus. And He's rebuilding. And oh, He's replanting. Isn't He replanting? And we are being called a planting of the Lord. Why? Why? For the reason given in Isaiah 61, where that verse is used. For the display of His splendor. Isn't that splendid? Now you might say, why? Why all this? What are God's purposes? There may have been people standing on the mall. You may have stood sometime in your church. I have stood. I've been places. And sometimes the question is, why? What's the end of all this? Where are we going? What are God's purposes in all this? And the prophet Ezekiel makes those purposes clear. And he talks about two things. God says repeatedly, not for your sake, for my sake. And there are two issues that are raised as the fruit of all restoration. Number one, that His name be revered. And number two, that the nations of the world be reached. That's what it boils down to, those two issues. Number one, His name be revered. And number two, the nations be reached. Yes, it talks about a lot of blessings. We love talking about the blessing. Yes, it talks about prosperity. But note what it goes on to say, that when I have blessed you, you will do what? Remember your sins and the loathsomeness of living apart from the living God. If we don't preach that gospel as part of our understanding of the blessings of God, it is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is that memory, it is the very blessing that God has given you, that also serves as a gracious halt sign to, hey, oh, where I have brought you from. Oh, how dark is the darkness without the blessing of God. And that keeps the heart soft for the gospel, for the reverence of the name, and for the word to go to the nations. And we find in this passage, and I'm going to be coming back to it in closer terms, verse by verse, at a later date, we find that verse at the end where God says once again, and I think it's most appropriate that I share this with you on an anniversary of our life, which is subsumed not by our history, but by what God is doing in the nation. He says, once again, I will heed the plea of the house of Israel. In other words, there isn't a blessing that you and I have as a result of redemption that excuses us from the necessity and the obligation to, one, seek God, and two, serve Him. And if I have any heart cry this morning and any prayer for restoration in my own heart and in the ongoing work of the Spirit of God in the life of our body, it is in these two areas, and I urge you to expect God to groom us and to teach us and tutor us and come with an open heart that is prepared to forget what you even think you know. That's the wonderful place we're at in church life. It's like you've never been this way before. It's wonderful to just learn all over again and learn better. So help us, God. God's encouragement to us, restoration in our own life at the place of intercession, and restoration at the place of mission. And that, I think, is a full-time calling to the church of the living God. Intercession and mission. And I don't think it's without significance this morning, and I'm so thankful that they're here, that the two largest groups of visitors in our service this morning are women who are part of the Lydia Prayer Fellowship, a ministry of intercession, and a group from the Anastasis, a ministry of mercy. I don't think that's without significance. And I'm going to say to them, thank you for being here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you see, we're a needy people. And God is gracious to send things on two legs in warm flesh and blood that we can see and embrace and appreciate. And church is an object lesson to us. And God is speaking very clearly to my heart, and he's going to speak increasingly to all of us. And there's much that this man needs to know and learn. Intercession and mission. Get ready. And I think we should pray that the time gap between those we welcome into the body and the time we send them out should get shorter and shorter, because the time is short. Labor, therefore, while it is still day. Oh, we're going to be tested on that. I know this man's going to be tested on it. But we've got to set aside every aspiration that stinks of flesh and say, Lord, I plead with you that once again the ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people. And do you know why the Lord uses the word flock? Because the image was so powerful when Jerusalem was filled with thousands and thousands of animals all over the place. And one of the prayers the Lord put in my heart, I was down on the mall and Celia and I broke away and we walked up to the Capitol steps. And I looked from the Capitol steps over. And I'll be frank with you, people, I had a hard time up there. I don't think I prayed great up there at all. I was almost struck dumb. Celia would have been aware of this. You look out and you look down the mall and you look at those people and you look at the skyline of the city or metropolitan Washington, who is sufficient for these things? I have spoken to people all week in this fellowship who've said to me, I have never ever been in a place where it's been so difficult to be open and sharing the Lord. Well, God is calling us to stay here, root here, be resettled, be rebuilt, and we are going to break through. And God is going to give you the joy this year. So, oh, help us, God, of leading one other person to Christ and seeing them rooted and established. And I looked out on those 125,000 and said, oh, Lord, Washington for Jesus. Oh, God, let this ruined city be full of a flock that name you. Let us account that every one of you standing on that mall one day will be a resident of this city. Help us, O God. And the Lord's birthed that prayer in my heart. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, there's ruins. And I tell you, when you walk in rubble, it will bloody your feet. And that's what the book of Lamentations is all about. And that's why I often go back to it, that even amidst the rubble with bloodied feet, we will yet continue to preach a gospel that says, is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by? And we'll take the other words of Lamentations and say, restore us, O God, unto thyself, that we may return unto thee. Redeemed, resettled, rebuilt, replanted. Make it your prayer list. Make it the expectation of your heart. And I just want to close with a word to somebody here. There's somebody here this morning, and you need to hear this, friend. There's desolation in your heart and your life. You can see desolation. There is barrenness and there is wilderness. It's a bit like the ground, a little patch of ground outside my front door that I have seeded and raked and seeded and raked, and it keeps coming up hard. And there's the most pathetic few grass seeds that are poking out there. And I better be careful, because my landlord's in the congregation. He might just now come and inspect it and tell me to do something about it. And there may be somebody here, and that's a bit like an area of your own heart. I want to tell you something that blessed me this week and was a word of the Lord to me. The Lord took me back to the book of Genesis on the replanting. Genesis 2:8, it says, he planted a garden. I want to tell you, he knows how to plant gardens. We're living in a world where there's too much seed advertisement. There's too many advertisers of the spiritual horticulturalists. The word of God through the Apostle Paul is one may plant, another may seed, another may water, but only God can make it grow. Only God. And he's the one who planted the garden in the first place. And I feel in my own heart just a precious act of surrender on this our first anniversary to the one who right back in the beginning knew how to plant a garden. And when it comes to the restoring work of the Spirit, he knows how to replant. And start with this man. Oh Lord, let us pray. Father, we have been together some time now this morning. I thank you that you've drawn us together this morning. I thank you that you've brought each of us in our pilgrimage thus far. And we would simply take the words of the prophet Ezekiel and the encouragement of your spirit and restoration and apply it right now in prayer to our own hearts. Lord, I pray it for myself. I pray, Lord, that there will be the evidences and fruits of redemption and the protection from that which is defiled. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will resettle any and every area in my own life where there is a need for a rootedness in you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will rebuild and continue to rebuild the areas of my own life and personality that need you. Help me, Lord, to be someone like those men and women in Nehemiah who built opposite their house. Help me to build, Lord, opposite my house and my family. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you will continue and replant. And oh God, I need desperately the generation that comes from the life of your Spirit. And what I pray for myself, I pray for every precious brother and sister as they pray it too for themselves. And we pray it for the corporate life of the church. Let your generating life bring forth fruit. You've brought us thus far to take us further. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you this morning. You've been precious. You've sat there long. If you've got discomfort, then we have a way of making you forget about that discomfort. And it has to do with food, which is always such a blessing to the Lord's people. Now, here's an instruction. Family, hold back. Friends, you can either go through that back door or this side door down the stairs. We're going to, just as those who are going to serve you are leaving, I've no idea, there's going to be lots of food for everybody. I think we're going to say grace. Let's just say grace, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that having partaken of the bread and the wine, we continue to be with one another and eat together, and we eat in Jesus' name. We talk in Jesus' name. We exchange the life which is of you and not of ourselves. Let there be an exchange of it. Let there be an exchange of your word and your encouragement to every dear heart. Bless the food. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Thank you for Nancy Merritt and for Craig and Jenny and all of our house group that have done this, and for everyone that cooked and have provided for us. We accept it in the name of Jesus. Be their reward. Amen. Church continues at the table. Be blessed.